T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
It's time to tee off with Dusty and friends.
I tell you, I don't understand it. I'm playing the worst game of my life.
Hey, put yourself down. You're not good. You stink.
It's PGA Championship Week with Dusty and friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club. Join Dirt and Spray June 6th for a day on the course. Secure your tee time now at 1080thefan.com.
PGA Championship Week with Dusty and friends on 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon. Happy Monday to you, the 16th of May, 2022. Dusty Harrier, Jeff Rust, our producer, sitting over there fearlessly. This music is throwing me off. Is this Tin Cup? I think this is Tin Cup music.
Sure.
I have going on here. Our friend of the day, you know him from... Did I just hear Kiss My A?
Yeah, you might have.
Our friend of the day is Andrew Nemec. You know him from Scoreboard Live and the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec. What's up, Nemec? How you doing, buddy?
I am doing well. I'm doing better. I'm still fatigued by the end of days, but I'm doing better.
Hey, you can't give the old OPB, the public broadcasting voice, the I'm doing okay. You're a little fatigued right now.
I'm surviving.
Your balls are slightly misshapen. That's because I've been sitting on a hot stove.
Are you going right off the bat? He's going.
I'm really confused.
You don't know SNL.
The sweaty balls.
Oh, okay.
Yep. He's sweaty.
That's an all-time SNL skit.
All-time.
I just didn't understand the reference in that moment.
It's good. You should go ahead.
Definitely go ahead.
Give
that a YouTube's.
Mm-hmm.
I had COVID.
You had the COVID.
And was supposed to host a couple times with you, and a couple times had to cancel because...
I'll tell you what.
I was sick.
Your COVID has been a pain in my butt.
Yeah, it turns out. That's what it sounds like. I'm really sorry about that.
No, I'm just glad you're healthy and that you're okay, man.
Yeah, let me tell you how it affected me.
But let me tell you how your COVID affected my life. No, I'm just happy that you're okay, man. It sucks. How you feeling? You good?
My daughter was sick, but the first time I think I canceled on you, I just couldn't get a sitter because she was sick and very sick. And we were worried about her anyway. And then one of the family members said, give her a COVID test just to see. She's 3, so she's not vaccinated, not boosted, because that doesn't exist for her.
Yes.
And we tested her, and it came up, you know, the test, the 2 lines, it came up like dark black line within 45 seconds. And it said, wait 15 minutes.
Yeah, if you, like, that's the thing with those, like, they're like, I don't know if I have it or not. Oh,
you'll know. And so I took a test and I was negative, but she was very sick. So the first time I missed because of that. And then 48 hours later, I felt sick and I took a test and I had it. And then my wife got it. And the whole house had COVID. So stepson, who's 17, went and stayed with my mom for 10 days or whatever, because we were sick, and then there's the 5 days after you have symptoms to make sure nobody's contagious. So then I felt good, and it had been 3 or 4 days since I've been sick, so I said, hey, I'm coming in. And Jeff said, no, you're not.
No, he's not.
You have to wait a little bit longer. So finally, I am here.
You are here. Congratulations. Woot. I'm glad you're feeling better. The fatigue, you'll get over that.
It is a pain, though.
It is a pain. Because
people
like,
tell
it's
you,
real.
People tell you you'll be fatigued doing stuff, and I try to go to the gym every day and lift every day. And I wouldn't go to the gym right now, but even just doing push-ups and sit-ups and stuff at home, I'm exhausted doing it. And then I'm tired. I need to take a nap. I just, it wears you out.
So
it's unbelievable.
Yeah, it really does. When I got and you're working out, it does. Like you'll get, it took me a couple weeks to kick that, like the fatigue aspect of it. But when I got, COVID back in was October, late October, early November, I was in quarantine in my bedroom because nobody else in my family had it at that point. So I called them my prison workouts. Like I was doing push-ups. Like I was like holding on to door frames and trying to do like pull-ups and stuff.
Yeah.
I was finding ways to, and I would just like all of a sudden just find myself taking a nap right on the ground, like right after you get so tired.
Yeah. It is a weird, it's a different kind of fatigue because I try to do push-ups, sit-ups and combo that until I build up a sweat. And literally I did it, sat down and I fell asleep between sets at one point. I mean, it's just a different kind of fatigue. It's a very weird thing, but I'm pretty much back. I think I'm going to try to go for 3-4 mile run here in the next couple of days and see how that goes and see if I can be back all the way.
Yeah. Well, more Godspeed to you.
But I'm glad you're doing well.
You know what?
It's good to hear that now that my COVID's done,
you know what?
You're doing well.
And that's the important thing.
That really
Nemec,
is.
Right?
I mean, that's what it comes down to.
That's really the important thing.
My daughter's
thing
okay, by the way. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. How's she doing?
Yeah,
everybody's good. Everybody's good. Everybody else healthy and happy. Well, did your wife get it?
Yes.
Douche? Everybody.
Yeah, everybody got it except the
17-year-old. How's your wife doing?
She, you know what? She's
see,
right.
You didn't even care about her. You know, I'm the one that is asking about Chantel and how she's doing.
Chantel.
Damn it.
Chantel.
And that's my buddy's wife is Chantel. I screwed that up.
It's all right, man.
But she's okay?
Yeah.
Cool.
And you have a host now every once in a while to step in.
You're damn right I do. Friend is here. All right. To everybody out there dealing with it now, too. Look, we're giving you fist bumps in the air. You can't see it right now.
Fist pounds.
Fist bumps. Fist bumps right there in the air. All right. So you're back from COVID. I'm glad that you're healthy. I'm glad everybody in your family's healthy. Now we can kind of move on.
Yes.
Hopefully with everything moving forward.
Very quickly.
Yeah.
Yesterday, Oklahoma got a commitment. Did you see this? I thought this would be right up your alley and you would ask me about it immediately.
Oh,
and the fact that you haven't, I'm a little disappointed.
I screenshotted this young man and I started sending it to my friends.
With the gold hat. Now, how great is it that I found that photo? So, Oklahoma got a junior college quarterback commitment from a player named General Booty. And in his photo,
incredible,
he's wearing an Oklahoma uniform and a gold hat, which might be the official Chippendales outfit if there's one in Oklahoma.
Yeah. I mean, well, that's the golden hat that you play for the Red River rivalry.
Ah.
You know, you wear the gold. Remember that picture of Charlie Strong, like the only game he won as Texas coach was when they beat Oklahoma. And
they gave the gold hat.
And he has a big old dome, so it just like sat right on the tippy top of his head. And that's all I remember from Charlie Strong's time. But that golden hat in his picture, General Booty, are you kidding me?
I know. Goldmine.
He is tops of the list on the all-name team.
Oh, easily.
At this point.
Well, and that name can only play in Oklahoma or Texas.
Yes.
I don't know that it can play any. I think it plays equally poorly anywhere, right?
Poorly?
Greatly?
Wait, you're saying poor? You think that this is a bad thing?
Here's the thing.
This is fantastic.
No.
Oklahoma and Texas are where
it's a great
the best.
Name. Here's where I'm a little disappointed.
This kid needs to go to UNLV is where he needs to go. Because General Booty,
oh, that would be great.
Name, image, and likeness for like the Spearmint Rhino. Like that seems like it is. That is name, image, and likeness waiting to happen.
General
in
Booty
Vegas.
Reporting for service.
Yeah.
So the
only, Bunny Ranch.
The only part of this I'm disappointed in is his last name is Booty. So there's a lot of room to work with here.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The reason they named him General is that his grandfather is super into the military.
Really?
And I just thought, if your dad's or your grandpa's super into the military, couldn't he be a little more specific than General and still deliver with that last name? I mean, there has to be a General with Booty that would go even better than just what kind of Booty? General Booty.
No,
generic Booty.
You don't want him to be that's totally military name.
But it's
but
leaning,
like you don't want him to be
in.
Like Captain Booty.
Oh yes, you do.
Lieutenant Booty.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
Private Booty?
Private Booty.
Is his middle name Large?
I don't know. Somebody said it was hairy, but I think they were lying.
Now we're talking. Like, there is so much room to work, because it does work in Oklahoma and Texas, because the other Booty that I know is John David Booty.
That's his uncle.
That's his uncle. Okay. So from USC, boy, that'll date you. His uncle is like, you have to go way back into your memory bank for his uncle.
It doesn't feel that long ago to me. Isn't that disturbing?
Yeah.
Like, I remember him playing.
Yeah, I know. That's we're getting old.
Not good.
Oh, like this texture, 503-250-1080, Commander Booty.
See, this is what I'm saying.
Like,
there was such a long runway here.
You could have gone naval, and if you go in the Navy, you get Commander, you get Admiral Booty.
Yeah.
That's actually way better.
Admiral Booty. This is what I'm saying. There was just such a long runway to land this thing, and General Booty is a little bit of a shaky landing, whereas Admiral Booty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But General Booty is a cool name.
It is a cool name. And he's walking on there, I believe. But I saw that story, and I knew I was going to.
Yeah.
This is where this job, national director of recruiting, really comes in handy.
Yeah.
You see a kid like General Booty commit to Oklahoma, and if I were working at my previous employer, that would have just had to fall by the wayside.
Yeah.
But in this new job, I'm able to attack stories like these hard-hitting news stories that people really care about. General Booty to Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And what a treat.
There are so many. If you're doing a game and you're prepping for the game, like, for instance, you got Gus Johnson and Joel Klatt preparing for the, you know, big noon kickoff. You've got Oklahoma and Texas in the Red River rivalry, right? General Booty steps onto the field and he leads the game-winning drive. You know, Gus Johnson's going to have a Gusgasm, and it's going to be just him screaming, yelling, ah! And he's going to yell, tap that, or something like that, just because it's going to be General Booty touchdown celebration.
Yeah,
I can't wait for it.
If you,
like, in my mind, this is such a big moment that I'm excited right now.
There's a lot that could go well here very soon with broadcasts, and I'm really looking forward to the bootygasm that some announcer is going to have that's going to really, really spice up some audio clips. See, it's going to be good. It's going to be really good.
You almost wish he were a bigger guy, like a lineman or something, so a guy like Gus Johnson could be like, no, that's a big booty.
Mm.
No, the fact that he's a quarterback, he's going to have to say his name 35 different ways every quarter.
Check out that booty smack.
And because of that, lot's going to happen, and a lot's going to be said. That he's going to want to take back if it's just clipped out without context.
It's going to be perfect.
It's going to be glorious. Hopefully he wins the starting job. We're rooting for General Booty.
What JUCO did he go to?
Tyler Junior College.
So Tyler, Texas?
Yes. And he was very, very good. He had a 500-yard, 8-touchdown game.
500-yard game?
550 yards, 8-touchdown game.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's walking on.
Why didn't he?
But there's a chance.
Okay.
That he works, because Oklahoma lost Caleb Williams. They lost Spencer Rattler. So there is a pathway.
And for, General is his birth name.
For playtime with Booty.
It's a
yes, that's his birth
name. It's his birth name.
Yes.
All right. So it's not like Sauce Gardner where.
No.
Because. Like, Luke Fickell was like, I'm not going to call you Sauce until you get drafted.
Right.
Then you've earned the nickname Sauce. I'm going to call you Ahmed, and then we're going to go from there, right?
Yeah.
General is his birth name.
Yes.
His government name.
Do you think I'd flippantly bring you this story if it wasn't a winner? You don't have to ask questions like that. I wouldn't come to you, Dusty. I wouldn't come to this show.
You are a journalist with integrity.
That's right.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah.
It's good! Dicker the Kicker!
You remember that one? That was a Texas kicker. Dicker the Kicker, who was in the draft, I think, this past year. He may actually be in the USFL now. But
the Big Boy League.
The Big Boy League. Have you watched any of that?
No.
I haven't either.
Even while having COVID. And it truly, if there's somebody who's going to watch that, it's probably me. If someone is going to watch it, I'm the target audience, because I'll watch football all year, anytime, no matter what. And I have not watched that, which is a bad sign for them.
Yeah, well, me too, because I watch Maction. Like, I will watch.
We're similar.
Akron play Kent State on a Tuesday night.
Ah, Sook makes fun of you as well.
I won't. There is nothing wrong with watching Akron and Kent State on a Tuesday
night. Absolutely not. In fact,
somebody's got to watch it because nobody's in the stands.
There's something wrong with you if you don't occasionally flip that on to just see the other side.
The USFL is not doing it for me, though.
No.
Not at all. Like, have not had any. I forget about it, and then I'll see a highlight on Twitter and be like, oh, there they are.
If we're getting real nerdy, someone has said that the biggest issue with the USFL is not actually the skill position, guys. That there's a baseline, and the quarterback play is not great, but you're going to get good receivers. You're going to see some good runs. It's that the lines are so bad.
So bad.
So bad
that
nobody can run a full spectrum of a playbook, and so that's why it's so bad. It's very predictable because you can't run a whole bunch of vertical routes if your offensive line can't block at all. So everything's compacted, and so because of that, football is garbage.
I just need to write this down so I can. I need to send it to Joel Klatt. He's living up to his name. If Booty's not playing well, you know, he really living up to his name today. Third pick of the day. These things are just coming through my mind right now.
Are they?
This is what
I needed. Mm-hmm. This is what I thought the opening segment would
be. This is where we are.
You asked me about COVID first, but I was really hoping for general Booty talk.
Yeah, we got it. We got it, and we're here. We're going to get you to open up starting at 1 o'clock. We're going to talk all things Andrew Nemec, how you got to the spot that you're at now with Scorebook Live. And I've got a ton of questions for you just about the recruiting process and how you've learned along the way what it is like. So we're here with Andrew Nemec today. He is our friend of the day. Where we got to start, though, game sevens are great until we get yesterday. This is Dusty and Friends on the Fan.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
You think General Booty will get drafted by the Browns?
I don't know.
No? Probably not?
Depends on if that booty's got legs.
All right. We had two game sevens yesterday in the NBA. I love game sevens. It turns out we should have been watching the NHL because that was far more interesting, the game sevens. We had two, call them what they are, blowouts. And I thought like the first one was a game seven blowout as Boston beats up on Milwaukee 109-81. But that paled in comparison to whatever it was the Phoenix Suns played because it wasn't basketball.
They played like booty.
Yeah, there it is.
That's the producer right there.
Luka Doncic had as many points as the Suns at halftime.
Yes.
And my mother came over to watch my daughter so that I could work slash watch the Mavs-Suns game. I'm actually kind of a Mavs fan.
Oh, really?
Not a ton, but in the League Pass world, I got League Pass this year.
Perfect.
The Mavericks were one of my teams that I tried to tune in on. I love Luka Doncic. I was pound the table. Luka should have been the number one pick guy. Right along with Bill Simmons during that draft when he slipped to, I think, the third or fourth pick, right? Huge. So I've liked Luka for a long, long time. And I was like, you know, Mom, this guy's great. So her first introduction to Luka was him. He scored the first 8 points of the game or whatever and then had as many points as the Suns. She was like, is he like Michael Jordan? You know, she's never seen it.
Kind of feels like
it. It's like, if this is what he is and this is a half, because he just kept hitting step back threes and killing her. She was like, you're right. He's unreal. It's like, well, okay, he's not normally this good. But it was unbelievable. I mean, the Mavs just decimated the Suns. And my thinking was, okay, the Celtics game wasn't great, but we'll get a good second game. Yeah. So there's no way we're going to get two blowouts. And the Dallas-Phoenix game was over mid-second quarter, it felt like. I mean, it was just over.
Well, and then there was this feeling, you know, the first half was an absolute just disgrace if you are a Phoenix Suns fan.
Credit to Dallas, though. They played unbelievable defense. If you go back and watch some of those sequences, they were locked in, all five dudes, which matters.
Absolutely, 100%. You are nails on that. Because also, this goes to show you exactly what it is in the NBA, is that defense does win. Look at the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, we may have some games in the Eastern Conference Finals between Boston and Miami that are like 85-79 type games because these two teams are suffocating on the defense end. I don't know how either, like, you sit there and you look at matchups and tit for tat, you go, Boston probably has a better chance to score, but I don't know how either of them are going to score against each other's defenses because they are suffocating.
And I think we could get a real physical matchup that is reminiscent of at least a modern, I know they don't allow it to get like it used to, but could we see kind of a Knicks-Pacers
old school
90s type throwback series there? By the way, one loaded with Portland ties. Peyton Pritchard. Spolstra, Jesuit, Ime Udoka, Jefferson, I believe, right?
And Portland State, yeah.
It's just a series loaded with Portland ties, and it's going to be a rock fight. Yep. And that's really exciting.
It is exciting. But defense does win, and you saw one thing. Jason Kidd deserves a ton of credit because he was getting just backhanded seemingly all season long as a guy who, he's in over his head again. You know, this is going to be the same thing as we saw in Brooklyn before where he's spilling the Gatorade on the floor. He's not a great coach. That dude won that series for them based on alleviating a lot of the pressures on Luka Doncic on the defensive end. Because what did we see the first couple of games, right? They just went at Luka all game long.
Right.
They, on the defensive end of the floor, Dallas figured it out. And they said, all right, if Luka is not going to be able to wrap up any of these dudes defensively, we got to find a way to help him out. And they did in a massive way with team defense and getting everybody to buy in on that end of the floor.
And on the flip side, Luka and Dinwiddie kept getting switched on to Ayton.
Big time.
And just hitting three over three over him. I mean, they embarrassed DeAndre Ayton.
Look, this DeAndre Ayton situation is going to be fascinating because last night in the postgame,
future Blazer DeAndre Ayton.
Boy, wouldn't the Blazers love that? But and I think a lot of teams would. But DeAndre Ayton only plays 17 minutes, and asked after the game, Monty Williams says that's internal as to why he didn't get as much run. There are rumblings, and they're starting to get louder and louder that Robert Sarver and the Phoenix Suns, the Suns owner, and that organization are not sold on giving DeAndre Ayton the money that he wants and that he does deserve as one of the dominant bigs in the league. They didn't use him correctly, largely. a la switching him onto, you know, Spencer Dinwiddie and Luka Doncic as much as they did. And on the offensive end, refusing to go to him when the tallest guy on the team is 6'10".
Rather than find ways to mask his deficiencies, they put him under a spotlight in Game 7, and they shone brightly. And I do think he'd be a better fit in Portland. And I kind of wonder, and Danny Meringue has, a friend of the show, Danny Meringue,
yeah,
has pointed out if and brought this question up a number of times. If the Blazers get a top four pick, and if it's not one, would you trade 2, 3, or 4 for DeAndre Ayton and potentially then ... get Zach LaVine, and suddenly your big three is Dame, Zach LaVine, DeAndre Ayton, and what kind of damage could you do in the West with that? And I think that's really fascinating.
That'd be pretty interesting to see. There's a lot of dominoes that need to fall in place for that to happen. But if you're looking at Phoenix, though, and this is where it does become reality, is that if they want to keep their other pieces intact, they've got to get young, right? And they've got, and how do you get young? You trade a big contract for potentially a high lottery pick, and that would be a good way to do it. I understand the reasoning, and I see the reasoning there, but there's going to be a moment where you got to pay DeAndre Ayton that money too, and you have to make sure that works before that time comes, right?
Yeah, and you probably have to move on from Nurk to do that, because you can't.
Oh, absolutely.
You're not going to do Ayton and Nurk together.
100%. That needs to happen.
Tons of moving pieces there, but that's a big three I think you can run with. And when we try to move this narrative forward of what do you do with the Blazers? I don't know. Like, what would you rather have? You move on from Nurk, you're able to somehow get Zach LaVine, sign Zach LaVine. You work a trade out where you give them Nurk and the number three pick, the number four pick. Maybe it's number five pick, and maybe it's number seven to get Ayton. Would you rather do that if you're the Blazers when you've got to please Dame and put a team together? Or would you rather go big three with Dame, Simons, and then Chet Holmgren? And then whatever money you can get to a free agent.
Chet's going to take time, though, but he's going to be special. Right?
I think Chet's got a chance to be really, really good. I just don't know if his timeline of being really, really good fits the timeline of Dame being good right now for how many years long.
You know, there is one gross overreaction coming out of, you know, that game in that series, and really what we saw from both Boston and Miami as well. I want to talk about that because it is kind of like death of the big man, right? That it seems to be the panic in the streets. 503-250-1080. Want to hear from you as well. Right now, we got Rust with SportsCenter.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, we got a Game 7 where Boston, despite a slow start where they shot like, what, under 30% from the field in the first quarter, gave up, you know, 7 points off of turnovers in that first quarter and 12 points in the paint. It was like, uh-oh, Milwaukee's going to run away with this. They find a way, and they win comfortably to punch their ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. Meanwhile, the Dallas Mavericks say, yeah, adios, DeAndre Ayton, 7-footer. We're going to leave you behind, too. And now we have a conference finals, which is packed with small ball-oriented teams, right? Teams that will roll out some of their most effective lineups don't have a 7-footer on the floor. Heck, if you look at it, the best offensive efficiency that Boston has run out has been that Smart, Brown, Tatum, Williams, Horford crew that they didn't. I don't know why Milwaukee and Mike Boonholzer, he was on the hot seat last year before they won the title. You saw Game 7 is why. They continued to leave Grant Williams wide open around the perimeter when he was lighting them up.
Yeah.
He shot 18 threes because nobody was guarding him.
The hard part there, though, is Grant Williams at Tennessee shot something like 28% from the three-point
right.
line. So the scouting report on him, and it you go into games and you go, listen, something's got to give. Because Jason Tatum's really good and Jaylen Brown's good, and they've got some good guards that can really shoot. Something's got to give. We're going to have to give something up. Game 7, you want to live or die by Grant Williams 3? 9 times out of 10, you'd probably take that. Grant Williams is going to shoot 18 threes? Okay, we'll take it. And we'll win or lose with how hot Grant Williams is from three. Unfortunately, it's the hottest, literally, he's ever been in his career from three. I get what you're saying, but like,
yeah.
That's the hard part of being an NBA coach. Like, if you drew it up where, okay, Grant Williams has taken 18 threes in game 7.
Mm-hmm.
You think that Bucks locker room before the game wouldn't have said, yeah, we'll take it.
We'll take it.
We're probably going to win.
Yep.
So he kind of did it right. It just was one of those times that it came back to bite him.
But it comes at a point where you sit there and you
time
go,
to adjust.
We are getting absolutely
yes.
murdered by this dude.
You're right.
And we need to change this up. And it was just like the Budenholzer stare where I don't know what he looks at, but you can see it. Like it looks like he's like looking up in the rafters and he gets lost. He's like, bah. And he was doing it after like his first quarter interview in between the quarters. He was like looking up, and that was when they had a lead. They were up like 26-20 after one. And he's like giving that look. And I was like, uh-oh.
There are players and there are coaches that have a face.
Yeah.
Budenholzer has a face. Eli Manning has a face.
Oh, he has
Manning
a face.
Manning face.
Oh, yeah.
Jameis Winston has a face. And it's usually after he throws a pick. And clearly he's like, I have no idea what coverage they were in.
He looks at his hands like, you did me wrong.
Yeah. I got LASIK so I can see at least now. Anyway. There are guys that have a face, and he has a face, and you're right. It came out early where you're going, oh, he has nothing planned.
Right.
He's unleashed everything he's got in the arsenal. We're in the first quarter. There's nothing else coming.
Right.
There's no adjustment coming, and they're in trouble.
And they went, their suffocating defense, where I saw that Milwaukee had only been held to under 90 points twice all year. They were both in this playoff series against the Boston Celtics. This team is incredible on the defensive end of the floor. And what we're finding is that these small ball lineups that they're able to roll out, where, you know, Al Horford is your tallest guy on the floor at 6'9", right? For Boston, the Miami Heat, where their tallest guy is Bam Adebayo on their small ball lineup at 6'9", you know, Dwight Powell at 6'10", and the rest of that lineup are able to shut down, you know, 7'1" DeAndre Ayton in the Phoenix Suns. And then we all know what the Warriors do in their small ball lineup. We're finding that these teams are able to hold up on the defensive end as well.
Right.
And that is a massive change from the first iteration of small ball was, we're just going to outscore you. Now we're finding these four teams that are remaining have the ability not just to go shot for shot and throw haymakers on the offensive end, but they'll suffocate you on the defensive end of the floor as well.
Well, before the show, you pointed out a great point about these small ball lineups. You put them in air quotes because, yes, you're giving something up in terms of your tallest guy.
Right.
But the NBA is full of tall, lanky, great athletes. So if you have a range of athletes that ranges from 6'5 to 6'9, you're still, yep, across the board, fairly good sized, especially with that length compared to teams in the 90s that had Rick Smiths out there. You know,
right.
it's a different kind of thing. And versatility on the defensive end, versatility on the offensive end, clearly in the NBA is king. And I sort of, watching the Celtics last night and even watching Dallas, for stretches yesterday, it kind of reminded me in a very weird way of the way NFL teams use Cordarrelle Patterson and Deebo Samuel, in that we don't need to have this 6'5 elite wide receiver or this Derrick Henry running back. We're going to have a versatile piece that we can kind of put anywhere, similar to some of these small forwards that can play point guard to center. And they can do so many different things that just by pre-snap motion or in basketball, just by the way we script our offense, we're going to get a matchup we like.
Yep.
And I think as sports, as athletes become better and more versatile, and we don't have big guys that just work in the post, we don't have small forwards that just play a 3-and-D role. They play the whole spectrum. They know how to play in the post. They know how to play up top.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing that these versatile pieces can thrive because basketball, football, so advanced now that you can script matchup issues when a guy is that long, that good an athlete, and they become a very valuable weapon.
Boy, I'll tell you, you are onto something right there. And I look at the four teams that are remaining in Boston, Miami, Golden State, and Dallas, and I say, you know, with the exception of Dallas, which right now has the cheat code of the playoffs in Luka Doncic, right? They did it for a series where they were able to buy in this way. But the other three teams, you know, whether it is Boston, Miami, or Golden State, the hardest part of what you're saying in what you're describing is to get guys to buy into that role, right?
Right.
And the Niners are finding it with Deebo Samuel right now. Like, it's hard to even get Deebo to buy into that role that we are going to make you great at the Swiss Army knife, right? You aren't just going to be a wide receiver where you're just going to be able to burn downfield. You're not just going to be a three-point shooter, Grant Williams, where you can just bury it from the outside. We need you to be more versatile, but it's going to be very limited. We're going to narrow the scope. Like, we don't want you to be a five-tool player, right, to use a baseball term. We want you to do three of them really well. And that's like
three very different things.
And, yeah.
Not predictable things.
And you're not going to get paid like a Luka Doncic who can do all of it really well, right? You are going to be a specific role player, and we need everybody to buy into the role that we are manufacturing for you specifically. And in Boston and Miami especially, and you see it obviously in Golden State too, is what Steve Kerr has been able to do, getting those guys to buy in. Those guys, these teams buy into roles. They don't bat an eye at it. And I think what we saw in this series is Jason Kidd against the Phoenix Suns, he got those guys to say, hey, if we're going to get waxed in this series, if we're going to play like we did the first couple of games, we need to have everybody go all in. And when that happened, it changed the complexion of that series because they were getting walked all over on the offensive end. And when he got those guys to buy in defensively, that series flipped on its head. I mean, it truly did. They went down 3-2, and they ended up winning that series in game 7 by 40 damn points. That's incredible.
It's unbelievable, yep.
That is incredible to see the way that they were able to put that series together. And this positionless basketball that we're seeing, the incredible part is you mentioned the length of them all, and we were talking about this before the show. I went and I looked it up. These small ball lineups of the four teams, who all of them have a small ball lineup, so you have 20 guys playing. Of the 20 players in the small ball lineups remaining in the conference finals, only three of them are 6'3 or under. This is where Portland had the big mistake. They had three guys of 6'3 and under in their starting lineup. That is how long and athletic these teams are. Like, Kyle Lowry's at 6 foot, Steph Curry's at 6'2, and then you have Jalen Brunson, who plays in Dallas's small ball lineup. He's at 6'1". Those are the only three guys that are under 6'4" that are playing in these small ball lineups.
So does any team have two together? You said there are
no.
Three total. So
three total.
No.
Miami has Kyle Lowry, Golden State has Steph, and then Dallas has Jalen Brunson. And if you look at Dallas, like, they go 6'1", 6'6", 6'7", 6'10", 6'7". Like, they are very long, and they can all shoot.
There's a texter that's really upset that so far today's talk has been general booty, small ball, and how long these men are. And I get it. I get it. You're right. I think the small ball lineup, the thing with the small ball lineup that people misconstrue is you're not giving up length on the floor. You're giving up height at 4 and 5.
Right.
For length at 1, 2, 3.
Yep.
And in that way, because you can cover more ground, you are defensively, you're just pests.
Yeah.
Like five little chihuahuas on the, except it's not though. And that's what we're learning is people think it's the five little chihuahuas on the floor running around. It's not. They're all medium-sized dogs running around. And if you go too small and say, well, our small ball lineup, we still have Nurk for part of our small ball lineup, but then we've got three really small guards. Well, then you have two and maybe three mismatches on the court at all times.
Right.
Whereas an Oregon, this is Dana Altman's theory at Oregon, give me one true point guard and then give me four guys who are between 6'8", 6'5", and they can shoot and they can rotate defensively. Jeez. And will cause problems because you don't have a glaring mismatch. Yeah. You don't have Luka on DeAndre Ayton. You don't have Spencer Dinwiddie on DeAndre Ayton. You don't have that matchup to take advantage of. And teams that do, that's why centers sometimes in the fourth quarter, we've seen this in the last few years. Centers, true centers, feel unplayable at times. Jokic is the best big man in the league. He might be the best player in the league. And he's had stretches in the playoffs where it's like, teams are taking advantage of him defensively. He might need to sit. He might have to sit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because versatile pieces and intelligent, versatile basketball can put those guys in a blender.
Yep. Absolutely. 503-250-1080. You mentioned the five little chihuahuas. One little chihuahua has been speaking up, and boy, has he.
What a chihuahua he is.
Dude. I love it. Hear from the man you love to hate next on The Fan.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dusty and Friends.
Brought to you by Persimmon Country Club.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, so we'll have more on the NBA coming up as the show goes on. But you mentioned something really quickly. I want to get this out really quick. You meant that Eastern Conference Finals is basically your Portland series. And on the surface, you go, oh, yeah, Ime Udoka. You know, Peyton Pritchard, those guys are Portland guys. We all know them.
Spoelstra.
Well, yeah, you have Spoelstra in Miami. But Ime Udoka has Damon Stoudemire on staff, pride of Wilson High. Aaron Miles, Jeff.
One of the best Jefferson teams ever.
Ever.
That team was so good. Brandon Lincoln was like an afterthought on that team. Michael Lee was on that team.
They were a globetrotter now, I think, right?
That team was unbelievable.
But I also saw that Ben Sullivan is a coach on Boston staff. And I totally forgot. He went to Lake Oswego. He's an LO guy. An LO guy. And he played at University of Portland, too. So you have Ime Udoka, Damon Stoudemire, Aaron Miles, Ben Sullivan, Peyton Pritchard. You have five. And oh, by the way, the guy who just stepped away is Danny Ainge, who handed that job off to Brad Stevens, who then hired Ime Udoka to make this Portland staff. So Oregon ties all over.
Was that a real cough, or do you just not like Brad Stevens? And that was like a
no. That was a real cough.
Okay,
that was a real cough. Yeah,
I love Brad. What's Stevens. Your deal with Brad Stevens?
Man? I love Brad Stevens.
Do you remember?
He's great.
Do you remember when there was talk about would you trade? How high a pick would you trade for Brad Stevens? Like people thought he was the next
That's
Pop
so
when he was young. It was so crazy.
And then people want him fired. Like it's the dumbest thing ever.
There was a stretch, and I don't think we fully appreciated it. There was a stretch in Oregon high school basketball that was truly, truly special and truly legendary. And people think of it, and it really was capped by the Kevin Love at Lake Oswego versus Kyle Singler at South Medford back-to-back state title games.
Yeah.
Lake O won the first one. South Medford won the second one. But there was, on either end of that, there were special groups that came through. That Aaron Miles, Michael Lee, Brandon Lincoln team at Jefferson was unbelievable.
Wait, and I really remember.
Thomas Gardner, I believe, was part of that group. And then on the other end, you had Mike Mosier, and Grant won the state title, and that was a little later, but they won the state title, and Grant stormed the court and started jumping up and down, chanting NEP on Mac Court, which was like a great all-time Portland moment. Jesuit had some great teams with the Tarver brothers. There was a
Jesuit with Mike Dunleavy Jr.
Right.
And
that was before.
Mike McGrain. Those guys were insane.
There was a game they played Redmond and it went to overtime, and that was Redmond's all time team. It was before
Marty Lunin.
It was before Marty Lunin.
Marty with 2 A's?
They had this unbelievable, just gritty, all the guys were like baseball players and state champion wrestlers. Just tough Central Oregon team, right? They go to overtime. And it's a close game. You know, it's like 1 point game, 2 point game. Dunleavy, with about 17 seconds left, pulled up from honest to God, three steps inside the half court line and just buried it to win. Just unbelievable. But my point is that legendary group that we think of as Kyle Singler and Kevin Love, the group that was right before that started that run. They're all coaches in the NBA now.
Right.
They're all doing big things in the league. It's really cool to see that 20 years later, that group, and 15 years later, and so on and so forth, is really making an impact in the NBA. And I think in the moment we thought, man, basketball's great here. But I don't think we fully appreciated just how special that group is. And they're really helping mold and shape the landscape of the NBA right now. It's really incredible. Portland was a basketball mecca there, and it played its way out into the NBA years later.
I mean, I really remember that whole thing kind of starting with the Les Schwab Invitational when the LSI brought in, was it Dominguez Hills? And I think Tyson Chandler was on that team. And that was the first time that we got to see this is what our local talent can do against some of the best in the country, right? And that was in the mid late 90s. But there was, and it was like, whoa, you know, Jeff can go toe to toe. Like Jesuit did have some dudes. I remember, well, we're overlooking, like, it started with like Damon Stoudemire way early 90s,
Terrell
right?
Brandon.
And yeah, going back to, where'd he go? Cleveland? I think he was a Cleveland guy.
Was he Cleveland or Ben?
No idea. I forget.
Okay.
But then you had Salim Stoudemire with his time at Lake Oswego kind of mixed in there. You're right. There was like this heyday of high school basketball here. And those guys are all kind of paying it forward down
Grant.
The road. Grant?
Terrell Brandon Grant.
Went to Grant. Ooh. You get...
I know. People are mad. I made up for it by talking about Grant taking over Matt Court and jumping around doing the NEP thing. I scored points with Grant earlier with that. Because they still talk about that. That's a big deal in Grant that they storm the court and jump the NEP. Rep an NEP.
That was awesome to see, though, in what we have kind of... I wonder like how much we can put to the progress in basketball. But boys basketball has been huge here. I mean, it's kind of hit a downhill the last couple of years. Are there future prospects that are going to be popping back up that are
going
to be...
Oregon's going through a renaissance of sorts. You got Mookie Cook, who was
Jefferson. All leaving now.
He left, and we're going to see more of that. I think Jackson Chelstead put a pin in that.
Really?
I think he might not be at Westland next year. We shall see.
See, and that's a bummer. That's a bummer, because wouldn't these guys get... And I understand like the Mookie Cook one, because... There's the COVID year that kind of threw a wrench in everything. So I don't blame people for leaving.
Mookie is playing LeBron James in a movie. Have we talked about this yet?
Wait, what?
Yes. There's a LeBron James movie coming out, and Mookie Cook is cast as high school LeBron because they wanted a guy with basketball skills. Anyway, sorry.
That's weird.
It's really cool.
Yeah.
So Mookie's incredible. He's the number 4 player in the country. He's going to Oregon. You got Jackson Shellstead, who's a top 60 player. And then you've got Winters Grady at Lake Oswego High School, is the best prospect to come out of Lake Oswego
since
Kevin Love.
He's good.
And then there's, on the women's side, there's been Cameron Brink, who was the number 2 player in the country. You've got, there's quite a few really good ones coming up.
Okay. Well, that's good to hear. That is good to hear, because there was a big wave, and then there's kind of been like this lull.
Huge lull.
A little bit.
Well, Peyton Pritchard, as great as he was, shined a spotlight on how far Oregon basketball fell, because I think we could say in the high school landscape, nationally, Peyton Pritchard was not as good a prospect as Kevin Love. Fair.
Fair.
Kevin Love was National Player of the Year.
I would say that's very fair.
Fair. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
You'll get pushback in West Lynn for that. But okay. Peyton won 4 straight state titles and 3 straight Player of the Years because no one else in the state could hang with him at all.
He didn't have a Kyle Singler.
There was no Kyle Singler. And there wasn't, not only was there no Kyle Singler, you know, Jefferson was in 5A at that point.
Yeah.
They were too fractured. So he never had to play anybody. And he was very good. I'm just saying the state kind of let him down in terms of giving him a rival. And we had a stretch there where it didn't matter how good you were. Again, Kevin Love, Kyle Singler, you had a rival. And some of those games were so good. And I think we're going to get back to that.
I think we're going to see some
really good basketball in the next few years.
I hope we do. Oh, yeah, Freddie Jones. Can't forget about Freddie Jones either.
Freddie Jones
was incredible.
At Barlow.
Man. Yeah, he was incredible.
He played with another guy. Was it Toby Bailey was on that team with him? He had a teammate that was also very, very good. That Barlow team had two guys that were extremely good. And Freddie was the better athlete and clearly going to end up being the better guy. But in terms of high school basketball player, he had a teammate that kind of went toe for toe. Brad Tinsley was great. And then on the women's side.
Oregon City.
You had the Oregon City teams, the girls' teams, in the early 90s, back-to-back-to-back national champions. There was a real glory period of Oregon high school basketball, and now it's just the Eastern Conference Finals.
No, it really is. It truly is the Boston Celtics. All right, Nemec, you just went off on the history of high school basketball here in the state of Oregon.
Are you mad at me for that?
No.
I gave you gold with General Booty earlier.
This is what we need to do now. Let's unpack this. Let's unpack how that just happened, okay? And how you got to where you are. Andrew Nemec, you know him from the recruiting show with Andrew Nemec, Thursday nights right here on The Fam, and Scorebook Live. He's the national recruiting analyst. Is that what you guys are called?
Director of recruiting.
He is the, holy crap. He is a director of recruiting.
Director.
At Scorebook Live.
It sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
I don't have a lot of people.
You know what he is?
Me.
He's the general of Scorebook of recruiting at Scorebook Live.
And sometimes I, too, am booty.
We continue with Nemec. This is Dusty and Friends on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.